was never made for a man. But many men and women will go there because that is the God that they wanted.
Dr. Tony Evans says one reason pride is dangerous is that it can affect your memory.
You said you want to live for this world? Then God says, fine. But you have to understand, while you can control the decisions, I control the consequences.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. You may picture the devil as a cartoon, complete with horns and pitchfork. But Dr. Evans paints a different picture today as he explores the background behind Satan's rebellion and how that fight affects you and me today. Let's join him.
Here we have in Ezekiel 28 a description of Lucifer before the fall. Lucifer before his rebellion. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord, you had the seal of perfection. You are a flawless being. Verse 13 says, not only did he dwell in Eden, but look at this. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created. Satan, or back then Lucifer, was God's showpiece. Perfect in every detail. What was the cause of his rebellion? He forgot. Those diamonds didn't show up by themselves. He forgot that that appointment did not occur by himself. He forgot that the only reason he was a cherub, the only reason he was on the showroom floor, the only reason he was a diamond studded, jasper studded, oink studded being, the only reason that any of that was true was because he was a creature. He was created. That is, somebody else put him in that position. Pride is not just feeling uppity about yourself. There's a little bit more to it than that. It is the worship of oneself. Let's look at the content of Satan's rebellion. We saw the cause. He was pride engendered by his own splendor. Let's look at the content in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. When God created angels, he created them with volition. That is, with the ability to choose. God did not mandate robotically their will. He says five times in these verses, I will. The question is asked in verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning? That is Lucifer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to earth. You have weaken the nations, but you said in your heart. God opens up the curtain on Lucifer's heart and lets us see what he was thinking. And by the way, he always knows what you're thinking. Lucifer said five things. Number one, I will, negative volition, I will ascend to heaven. Now, he doesn't mean for a tour. He already had access to heaven. He already had access to God. That he was already walking among the stones. He was already moving among God's presence. He was already on the mountain of God, Ezekiel 28 said. So he's not talking about going to pay a visit. He's talking about ascendancy. In other words, I am going to ascend with a view to occupying the throne. It was an occupancy ascension. I want to ascend to a position, not just ascend to a place. In other words, I want that post. I don't want to serve somebody else at that post. I want the post for me. I will ascend, and I'm going to sit in that chair. Two, I will raise my throne above the stars of heaven. Job 38:7 says stars refers to angels. So he wanted to rule over all the angels. You say, wait a minute, wasn't he already over the angels? Yeah, kind of. He's the number one cherub. So what you want? I mean, he made you the number one angel. No, if Lucifer was here, he'd explain. No, that's not what I want. Because every time I go down to angels, I got to go with what he wants me to go with. I want the angels in their committee meeting to be discussing me. I want the angels, when they get together, to find out how to make me, Lucifer, look better. I want to be in charge. He was fairly successful, according to the scriptures, because it says one third, Revelation 12, of all the angels joined him. So this powerful being, God sits back and let him do it. Lets him take one third of the angels. Have at it. So I will. Thirdly, I will sit on the mount of the assembly. Isaiah 2:2, Psalm 48:2 says that the center of the assembly is the center of God's kingdom rule to control the affairs of the universe. In other words, Satan didn't want to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, but my kingdom come and my will be done. What Satan is saying is, I want to be in control of the show. I want to set forth the plan. I don't just want to execute somebody else's plan. I want this to be my show. I want to be in the center, sitting on the mount of the assembly. I want to be managing the kingdom. Fourthly, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Oh, this is a cute one here. What are the clouds? Exodus 40 verse 33 says that the clouds reflect or refer to the glory of God. The Bible says, and the glory of God came down in the clouds. So the clouds were not just clouds. It was that in which the glory of God and through which the glory of God was manifested. You see, this guy wants glory. He wants praise. Or as he put it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, all these kingdoms of the world, the mount of the assembly, I will give unto you if you will fall down and what? Worship me. That's what he's saying here. I want to ascend above the clouds. I want worship. That's why Satan cannot hang out when we are worshiping God. That's why he can't hang out when we're worshiping God. He can't hang out when we're worshiping God because we are giving to another that which he so desperately wants for himself. Not only that, but when we worship God, that reminds Satan of what he used to do. That's his old job description. His old job, old Mr. Pipe himself, was to lead all the angels into the worship of God. He can't hang around because we're giving to God that which he wants for himself, and because it reminds him of his old job that he'll never ever get to do again. He wants the glory. Let me tell you something about God's glory. Hold your finger where you are and turn forward a few pages to Isaiah 42, chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Chapter 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I am chosen, in order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. Not a lot of room here for God making. 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Chapter 45, verses 5 and 6. You kind of get the impression Isaiah means this. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising of to the setting of the sun, there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. He wanted to share something that is unshareable. He wanted to divide something that is indivisible. And that is the glory of God. God lives for his glory. That is for the demonstration of his greatness. Glory means to show off, to advertise, to manifest, to put on Wall Street and market. Bible says in the beginning, God said, let there be light. Bing, light. God says, good. God looked at himself, you bad boy. Just speak the word like that. Light just comes out of nowhere. You too much. You ought to just hush. You so good. Let there be animals. Bing, cows, bulls, zebras, goats. All this looking stuff. Oh, God. Good mugger, you bad. Let there be fish in the sea and all manner of fish comes up. You pretty. Let's make man in our own image. Ooh. God, you too much. I can't take it. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't God getting stuck on himself? Absolutely. How can he be stuck on himself? Because there's nobody greater for him to be stuck on than him. It's very simple. The reason you can't be stuck on yourself is there's always somebody better than you. There's always somebody greater than you. There's always somebody prettier than you. There's always somebody going to be better at business than you. Somebody who'll be able to play ball better than you. There is always somebody better than you. But when it comes to God, he keeps looking, can't find nobody. He is in a class by himself, so he has the right to be stuck on himself. He is one of a kind. And therefore, he will share his glory with no man. Nobody. Satan wanted to share his glory. Fifthly, watch this now. Here's the bottom line. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, here he is, creature that he is, looking up at God, and God is omni-everything. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time without moving. He's omnipotent. There is nothing he can't do other than contradict himself. He is omniscient. He not only knows what was and what is and what will to come, what is to come, he knows what could have been. And this fool is sitting up saying, I want to be like him. To be like him would mean there were two gods. Let me tell you something God can't do. You say, there's nothing God can't do. Yeah, there are a few things God can't do. Like the Bible says, God can't lie, okay? So there are a few things God can't do. Let me give you a hot one. God cannot replicate himself. He can't produce another like him. God cannot reproduce himself, because if he could reproduce himself, then he would no longer be the only God. So he can't do that. He cannot reproduce himself. So this guy is saying, I want to be like him. So you know what? I don't think he was that crazy. Let me tell you what I think Satan is saying here. I think he's saying here, I like what he has. And what did he have? Independence. God was answerable to no one outside of himself. That's what he wants. Any of you have any kids like that? Independent? They don't want to be answerable to anybody out of themselves. When they get that way, that's when they got to move. That's when you know when they got to move. When they are answerable, when they want to answer to themselves, let them live to themselves. Okay? All right?
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to explain why God let Satan get away with his arrogance. First, though, I want to let you know that Tony's got a brand new book coming out September 1st that listeners have been requesting for a long time. It's called Raising Kingdom Kids. This follow-up to the bestsellers Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman is a powerful look at parenting from a God-centered perspective. It answers your questions about how to help your kids learn respect, resist temptation, and develop a strong faith of their own. Pre-order Raising Kingdom Kids today, and we'll send it to you as soon as it's released, along with over $80 worth of bonus resources designed to help you sharpen your skills as a mom or dad. So visit us at TonyEvans.org for the details. And when you do, be sure to request a copy of Tony's current 2-volume series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. It covers all your biggest questions about who these supernatural beings are, what they can and can't do, and the role they play in our life and faith. For the rest of this week, we're offering all 6 messages in Volume 2 of this collection as our thank you gift when you support The Alternative with a contribution of any size. In fact, if you contact us right away, we'll also include the companion study guide. It's a real help for your personal devotions and a must for Bible study or Sunday school groups. So don't wait. Get the details today on the Angel CD series and study guide by visiting us online at TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3900. 1-800-332-3222. Staff members are standing by to help you right now. And again, the number 1-800-800-3222. Well, we'll pick up right now where we left off as Dr. Evans continues our message.
Now, Satan's sin was so grievous, and the reason why it is so hideous is that he wasn't tempted to do this because there was nobody to tempt him. He came up with this all on his own. At least you and I can say somebody tempted me. That doesn't exonerate us, but at least we got help. This dude didn't get help. He just sat looking in the mirror and said, let's come up with something. I don't know the word sin, but we're going to come up with it. He had intellect. He had opportunity. He had service. He had fellowship. You say, why did God allow it? God allowed it so that he could demonstrate that when you don't do it his way, it won't work. The curse of Satan's rebellion. Look at the curse. Satan, as it were, rolled the dice. Remember on the street corner when you're there, you know, 7-Eleven. Trying to luck yourself. You want to get the dice. He rolled the dice. But he forgot something. Follow this, folks. You can always control your decisions, but you cannot always control their consequences. See, it's your decision. Idly brothers were right. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. It's your decision. But after you let them dice go, God takes over. He controls the consequences. He rolled the dice, thinking he could upset heaven, dethrone God. But they didn't come up 7-Eleven. He fell into the law of unintended consequences. He would discover that even when you sin according to God's rules, not yours. He would come to understand that he was not just the devil, he was God's devil. He would understand that when you rebel against God, you can control the rebellion, but he will determine the outcome. So what happened? According to verse 12, the boy fell. In fact, verse 12 says, you were cut down to earth. You were booted out. Verse 15 says, you will be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit. I'll show you that in a moment. He lost his position and privilege. Verse 12 lets us know, because in falling from heaven, he lost his position, his privileges permanently. He had corruption of character. He enjoyed now the perversion of power. Verse 12 says, you weaken the nations. Verse 16 says, they will gaze on you and ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who nations shook? You know why God isn't in any real hurry to end this thing? One is Adam's lease hasn't run out. God will end it when Adam's lease runs out. But will you turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41? Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now look at Revelation 20, verse 10. Now you can understand the doctrine of hell and the angelic conflict. Revelation 20, verse 10 says this, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is a boiling pot called hell, or the lake of fire. Hell is sort of the holding cell. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire, the place of torment. According to Matthew 25, verse 41, people who adopted Satan as their God will get to live with their God forever. See, hell was never made for a man. It was never made for a woman. But many men and women will go there because that is the God that they wanted. So actuality is, hell is the answer to the sinner's prayer. You said you don't want God to be your God. You don't want Jesus to be your Savior. You want to live for this world. Then God says, fine, I will let you live for this world. I will let you have the God that you wanted. But you have to understand, while you can control the decisions, I control the consequences. James 4 says, humble yourself before God. 1 Peter 5:5 says, humble yourself before God. Now, let me clarify what I mean here. I don't mean you going around saying, oh, for me, I'm nothing. I'm never going to be nothing. And, you know, I'm ugly. It might be true, but that's not humility. Humbling yourself does not mean you stoop below yourself. It just means you stand as tall as you can against something higher than yourself. A little boy came to his father one day and said, Dad, I measured myself, and I'm 8 feet 4 inches tall. Father said, no, you know, you're not 8 feet. Yes, I measured myself. That's how tall I am. Father went and looked what he measured himself with, a 6-inch ruler. You can always get taller if you're using the wrong gauge. And a lot of us think more of ourselves because we're measuring ourselves against the wrong people. So we better than Joe. Joe's a drug addict. So I'm okay. No, that's a 6-inch ruler. No, you got to measure yourself against the right standard. Stand as tall as you want. Just make sure the standard is right. And all have sinned and fallen short of what? The standard. The glory of God. That is the standard. That is the standard. Pride is the only disease that can make everybody sick except the one who has it. You got to humble yourself before God. Two brothers grew up. One became a lawyer. The other became a farmer. The lawyer was Mr. Big Stuff now. Couldn't tell him nothing. He said, brother, when you going to make something of yourself? When you going to make something of yourself? Be somebody. Get a name. When you going to become something? Older brother looked at him. See that wheat over there? He says, there's something interesting about that wheat. The ones that are standing straight up have no content in their heads. The ones that have stuff in their heads are bowing down to the ground. You miss the big stuff? That's because you empty-headed. And you have forgotten you are a creature. You are not the creator. The ones who really know who they are, get down. And prostrate themselves before God. If you're too big to get down, you will get down. God will just have to chop your legs out from under you and bring you down.
And if you're ready to do that and to start a real relationship with the Lord, stay with us. Dr. Evans will come back to tell you how that's done in just a moment. Now, today's lesson was titled The Rebellion of Satan, and it's available on CD. But don't forget, we're offering Volume 2 of our current series called Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly, and the study guide that goes with it, as our way of saying thanks for your contribution of any size to help us carry the message of the alternative around the country and around the world. But don't wait, this special offer is only available till Friday. So make your request online at tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans continues our study on the enemy's fall from grace as he takes an in-depth look at the character of Satan. But right now, he's back with this final word for us.
If you've been listening to the broadcast and you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can resolve that right now. I'm going to say a little prayer. I want you to pray it after me, but you've got to mean it for yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior because I can't save myself. So right now, I trust you alone because you died for me and arose for me to be my sin bearer. You are now my substitute. And I'm believing you to forgive my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have given to me. Help me to live a life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, and we'll keep ministering to you for your spiritual growth through our broadcast. God bless you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.